Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
You know, I started thinking about this weekend, and it's really this last Sunday. We're getting ready to launch into our Jubilee banner year of 2020. Are you excited about what God has for you in 2020? I know I am. I want everything that God has for me in 2020. I don't want just a little bit. I want it all. And you know, here's the thing is, I started thinking about this. There's a story that Jesus tells. And we're going to get to it, and we're going to walk through it. And I believe that if we take this story that he kind of gives us, and how many of you guys here and at Ferguson Florissant, you've heard of the prodigal son, the prodigal son story? You've heard the prodigal son. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. It's going to be the Phil Clemens version of it, so we can condense it down real quick because it's kind of big. But we're going to kind of go through it very quickly. And basically, we can really relate with the younger son, because what the younger son does is he basically goes out, lives wild, comes back. And I know some of you guys are looking at me like, spoiler alert. But yeah, so he goes out, he lives wild, and then he comes back, right? And most of us can relate to that because that's what we have done. And this really is a depiction of God the Father's love for us, right? But there's some things that we can learn from the older brother that's very crucial. There's some things that if we're going to really enjoy the 2020, the banner years, the Jubilee, the breakthrough, the debt cancellation, the homes, the prisoners being set, if we're going to fully enjoy this, there may be some things that we may need to leave in this decade and not take with us to that one. So let's check this out. Luke 15, verse 12. It says, the younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me? Now, understand the culture and basically what he's asking at this point. He is saying, hey, it would be cool if you were dead. This is the truth. Like, I need my inheritance. I need you to die. Would that be cool? A couple days ago, I was riding in the car with my kids. And I have two amazing world changers as boys. They're 12 and 10, and they are phenomenal. They're two of the best kids I've ever been around in my life, and I did student ministry for a while. They're phenomenal young men. And my oldest is sitting in the back, and he says, hey, Dad, if something happens to you, where does your stuff go? And I was like, that's an awkward question. I said, everything would go to your mom. He said, oh, man. And I'm like, all right. And then I said, well, if something happens to me and your mom, then it would go to you and Preston, and it would be split 50-50. And he said, cool. Now, I don't know what he was thinking in his head, but he's traveling with me all morning long because I'm keeping him close because I don't know what he's thinking. So he's been with me this whole entire time. But that's basically what the younger son is asking his dad. Now I'm going to go through this very quickly. Basically what happens is he goes out, he lives crazy. He's out sinning and having fun. And yes, Ferguson Florissant, I said that in the same sentence. Because if you're telling your kids that sin isn't fun, you are a liar. Because you know sin is fun. You know it is. The key is there's a price that pays when you go live that way. So I don't lie to my boys. I tell my boys, sinning is fun. Because here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to not tell them that, and then they do it, and then they're like, Dad's been lying this whole entire time. No. Sinning is fun. But there's a price that you have to pay. And the younger son learns the price very quickly. Verse 17, here's the price. Humiliated. That's the price. The son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, there's many workers at my father's house. We have all the food they want, plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Everybody shout, they lack nothing. Say it again. Say, they lack nothing. Ferguson Florissant, say it with us again. Say, they lack nothing. They lack nothing. Right? Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house, and I'll say to him that I was wrong, and he'll love me forever. And so, that's my version. It's not in your Bible. So, it's verse 20. It says, so the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Now, remember what I told you. This really is a depiction of God's love for us, because I do believe that God is always looking for us. He's always looking out, waiting for us to come back home. Because if you take one step towards God, he'll run towards you. So he's always ever looking. And like the father in this story, I'm sure he had the Family 360 app. And he's watching the whole entire time. Where's he at? Where's he at? Whoa, he's with the pigs. That's kind of a wild life, but I'm just waiting because I know he's going to come home. And then he sees him as he's getting closer and closer and closer. And he's looking out. The Bible said that he's looking. Day and night he was looking for him. And then he sees him and he runs out to him. He puts a robe on his back, a ring on his finger, and some Jordans on his feet. Yeah. It's shoes, but it's probably Jordans. You know what I mean? He's got some Air Jesuses. So he puts shoes on his feet. And the son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never, verse 21, it says, I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be. And it says, the father interrupted and said, Son, you're home now. I believe that's what God does with us. We're like, God, I screwed up. I messed up. I'm bad. And God interrupts us and says, hey, I sent Jesus to die for you. I threw your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Just come home. Just come home. So he said, just forget about all that. And the short part of the story is, we were lost, God's searching for us, we come home, he celebrates, now there's a party. Right? And here's the cool thing. If that was the end of the story, that's great. Most pastors and preachers stop at that point because that's a great place to stop. It's like, sweet, you were lost, now you're home, everything's great. Good times. But if that was really the point and Jesus didn't want us to learn anything else, why wouldn't he stop with that part of the story? Because he didn't stop. Because here's the thing is, the younger son wasn't lost. He was home. The older son had been there the whole time and was lost because his heart was far from it. There's a big difference. And I do believe if we're going to step into 2020 and we're going to get everything out of 2020 and these banner years and the Jubilee and everything that we want, if we're going to step into it, there may be some things that are in our heart that we need to leave in this decade. And we don't need to take it with us. Because if we look at the older son's life, we can parallel some things in our own life. So I want you to put yourself into this story. Just put yourself there. Because remember, God's always looking at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance, on the height of his stature, or if he is bald. I just threw that in there. So just, doesn't matter if you got great hair or not. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God's always worried about our heart. He's not worried about an outward appearance. So now, putting yourself in this story, check it out. Verse 25. Now the older son was out working in the field when his brother returned. And as he approached the house, he heard the music of celebration and dancing. Okay, I got you. Stop. I just needed to put you there for a second so you could get the idea. This is what he hears when he comes walking up. Verse 26. So he called over one of the servants and he asked, here's a question that we have all asked here, Ferguson Florissant. Here's a question we've always asked, and we've asked God this. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But we've all asked God this question. And the older brother is asking the same question. Here's what he is saying. There's a party going on. There's a lot of exciting things happening. There's banner years. There's breakthrough. There's revival. And here's what the older brother is asking. What's going on? We've asked God that question before, right? We've asked him what's going on before. Have you ever been believing God for something in your life? Let's say you're praying and you're saying, okay, God, I need $87 to pay my electric bill. God, I need $87. I need $87. Scratch that. I need $89.35 because I know Aaron's going to charge me a $2.35 fee pay. You know what I'm talking about? Because they're not paying that fee. So they're going to charge you that too. So God, I need $89.35. I need to pay this bill. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm believing God. Then you go to work, and that person that you cannot stand, that gets on your nerves, that annoys you so bad, walks up to you and says, hey, guess who just got a $5,000 bonus? you ask God, what's going on? You ever been believing God for a mate, and you're like, I'm ready, God, I'm ready, God, I'm ready, God. And then inevitably, that person that you can't stand walks up to you and says, guess who just got engaged? And you go back and say, God, what's going on? She's got fake hair, fake nails, fake eyelashes, and she's still ugly. All these things. What's going on? Now I'm going to ask for honesty. Have you ever asked God what's going on? I know you have, Ferguson, Florissa. I know you have. What's going on? You ever been believing God for a big idea? We all do the same thing too, because it's like, you ever been driving down the road and you see how much the Powerball is and you're like, God, we all say the same thing. Every one of us all say the same exact thing. Don't try to lie like you don't say the same thing. We always try to be holy first and think that God doesn't know. So we're like, God, if you allow me to win, I'll pay off all the churches. Right? So he said, it's like, I'll help the homeless. I'll help everybody. Pay off everything. And then it's like people that annoy you, that you're just like family members. You're like, I'll even give them some. Right? We all do the same thing. It's like, and then I'll buy a car. But you're believing God for a big idea. Big idea, big idea, big idea. I just want to help. I just want to help. I just want to help. A friend of mine recently sent me a photo. And I was praying about this message. And it says, a duct tape banana is selling for $120,000 at Art Basel in Miami Beach. A duct taped banana is selling for $120,000. I'm over here believing God for a big idea. This moron duct tapes a banana to a wall and gets 120 grand. I'll duct tape 5 bananas and ask for 50 grand. And then somebody bought it and ate the banana. I got a whole basket full of fruit I'll give you for 10. This is it. God, what's going on? What's going on? You're believing God for a new car because yours keeps breaking down. And then somebody pulls up in a brand new car. Or, you're believing God for a car because yours is breaking down. You go to a church service and somebody gives somebody else a car. You don't think you had the thought? Because I did. And my cars aren't even breaking down. I was like, God, all I was asking for was a new Land Rover. What's going on? This is what he's asking. Verse 27 said, the servant replied, it's your younger brother. He's returned home and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming. Here's the crazy thing. No one invited the older brother. He was out working in the field. Can you imagine? You get off work, you come home, there's a party at your house? And you're like, hey, what's going on? Oh man, they're buying people cars, paying off debts, everything else. That's my house! Here's the thing, it's in his heart. The older son became angry and refused to go in and celebrate. There's some things in his heart that kept him back from walking through that door. And I'm just wondering today, if there's some things that are in our heart that maybe we need to leave here that are going to stop us from walking through that door. Because it's going to be 2020. Yeah. On Wednesday, it's going to be 2020. It's not about a chronological time. I'm talking about, are you going to fully experience what's going to happen in 2020? It's a banner year. It's a jubilee. You're believing God for it. But are there some things that we need to leave here? Maybe you've dealt with some things that have happened in your past. Maybe your past, and I'm not. Let me be very clear about something. I am not downplaying anything that's happened to you. Hear me saying this, Ferguson Florissant. I'm not downplaying anything. I'm not saying that what has happened to you was right. I'm not saying any of that. Be very clear with that. But here's what I am saying. Paul said in Philippians, I forget those things that are behind, and I've got to press towards the mark of the high calling. I got to forget the things that are behind. Because here's what Paul was saying. If you're always thinking about the past, what could have, should have, and would have been, if we're always focused in the past, we're never going to see what God has for us. We're always going to be looking behind and never looking ahead. So maybe there's some things in your past, you just need to leave it. You just need to leave it in this decade. Just leave it behind. Maybe there's some hurt. You need to leave that behind in this decade to experience the fullness of 2020. To experience everything from it. Maybe there's some offense that's happened. Have you ever gotten offended? Somebody did something and it offended you and it hurt you deeply. And now you're offended. And God's saying, I need you to leave that here in this decade. I don't need you to take offense. And you're like, God, but you don't understand. You don't understand. You ever told God, you don't understand. You don't understand. I have. I was in traffic arguing with God one day because I hate traffic. Because everybody's a terrible driver but me. I was in traffic one day and I was like, what are these people doing? And the Lord was like, have patience. And I was like, you have never dealt with a traffic jam. You rode camels. Camels, you don't have camel jams somewhere else. Okay, this is a traffic jam. You ever been in a long line before? And you feel yourself getting annoyed? Why? Because when you go to a restaurant like Chick-fil-A, you already know what you're going to order. All they have is chicken. So when people get to the front, what do they do? What do I want? Chicken! That's what we're here for! And the Lord's like, patience. I was like, you probably never stood in a line. Because Jesus probably always knew the best time to go wherever stuff was. But we got to leave this offense, because here's the thing is, you can get offended very easily. But the same God who walked on water, the same God who rose someone from the dead, that same God, he was a water walker. You know, every summer we take a vacation with our boys and we drive to the beach. And every summer, without fail, I try to walk on water. It's true. I'm not kidding you. I get right to the edge of the ocean and I'm like, today is the day I walk on water. And then I totally belittle all the disciples. Don't send me in an email, okay? Because I don't want you to be like, you can't say that about Peter. Okay, I'll deal with him when I get there. But I'm just saying, I'm like, hey, he denied you three times and he walked on water. I've never denied you once. And I step out and I sink every single time. One day, I'm gonna walk on water. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I might do a little spin when I'm like halfway through the water, like, ooh, this is really happening right now. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to walk on water. This is the God that we serve. He is a God of the impossible, right? He's a God of the impossible. But here's what he said. Check this out. Here's what he said in Luke 17. Jesus in the red, the hot sauce. Here's what he said. It's impossible that no offense should come. Jesus, it's impossible that no offense should come. You're going to have an opportunity to get offended. It does not matter. If you're around people for any particular amount of time, you're going to have an opportunity to get offended. Why? Because there's sin in the multitude of words. You probably have gotten offended with something that I've said already. Some of you are looking at me here and at Ferguson Florissant like, I still can't believe he said that about Peter. Well, when I get to the gate and he's standing there, I'm just going to slide by him very quickly. You know what I mean? Just make it in. But you get offended. You get upset. But maybe we need to leave that. Like the older brother, we need to leave that in 2019 before we're going to walk into 2020. Maybe for you it's insecurity. And I know that feeling. Trust me, I know that feeling. I had a good childhood. I had great parents, great mom and dad, great siblings. I'm the youngest of four, obviously the best of the four. There's no doubt about that. Also the most humble of the four. But I made some bad decisions. And I made some bad mistakes. And I knew what it was like in June of 2005 when Pastor David came to me. Been in this church for a while. I've been here 18 years. And he came to me in 2005. He said, I want you to start a youth ministry with this other guy. And that guy signed right away. And I remember looking at that paper thinking to myself, I'm not sure statute of limitations is up on some of the stuff that I've done. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be real awkward be preaching a message and the cops come in and haul you out. But I had a message prepared just in case. You know what I'm saying? And the cops came, I was going to be like Paul, they put me in prison. Don't worry. True story, I did go to jail one time for like 3.5 hours. I was in East St. Louis jail. It's a long story. And I called Victoria on the phone, and she was at work. And I said, hey, I am in jail, and I need bailed out. And she's like, well, I'm at work. Okie dokie. That's a story for another time. But the Lord delivered me, thank God. So I know the insecurity, I know the way it feels, but check this out in Galatians 4:7. So you're no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And if a son or a daughter, then an heir through God. You're no longer a slave, you're a son and a daughter. I don't care what you've done. You have every right to walk through that door of 2020 and get everything you ever want out of 2020. Everything you want out of this Jubilee. Doesn't matter what you've done. It does not matter anything that you have done. The older son was so angry and so stubborn, he refused to go in. Is there some stubbornness that's in our heart somewhere? Maybe that stubbornness is we say, hey, join a connect group. And you're like, I'm not joining a connect group. They keep asking me to join a connect group. They keep asking me to lead a connect group. I'm not leading a connect group. And God's saying, no, let it go. Leave that back here. Quit being so stubborn and go through the door. And you say, no, I'm not leading a connect group. Listen, I don't get a bonus. I don't get anything extra if you lead a connect group or you're in a connect group. I don't care if you're in a connect group. I don't. Because here's why. I will be perfectly honest with you. Perfectly honest. When I gave my life to Jesus, my destiny changed. My life did not change. Listen to me, Ferguson Florissant. My life did not change until I surrounded myself with the right people. That's why I want you to join a connect group. Don't be so stubborn to not join a connect group. Join a connect group. Go to Growth Track. Well, you're just trying to get me to serve in the church. No, I'm trying to get you to see what God has for your life. Get involved in the church. Serve in the church. Any capacity. I think I've been fired from every position as a dream teamer at this church. A story for a whole nother time is, I was working the parking lot one day and I punched the church mascot. Yeah, and this is the guy speaking to you today. So if God can do a work in my life, he can do it in me. True story. I didn't think anyone saw. And then Victoria came out. And she said, did you just punch the church mascot? And I said, he is omnipresent. True story. But serving's so important. Why? Because God has a plan and a destiny, but if you don't start serving, you'll never step into that. Here's the reason why. I remember on a Tuesday night service, bawling and crying, and the Lord said, I want you to clean the bathrooms after Sunday night service. We used to have Sunday night service. And I'm like, I'll do anything you ask me to do, God. Just use me. I don't care. And then Sunday night service came. And everybody said, half-price appetizers at Applebee's. Who's going? I said, your boy right here. Started walking out, and God said, what about them toilets? I said, yeah, what about them toilets? He said, no. You hold to your vow. You go back and clean those toilets. And I walked back in there. There were two ladies that used to clean the bathrooms. Two ladies. And I'm going to say this. I don't care if you get mad or not. Fellas, you're some of the most disgusting people I've ever been around in my life. I don't know what you do in a bathroom. I just don't know what you think while you're in the bathroom is what I'm saying. And these ladies, they had done it for too long. And I said, I'm here to clean the bathrooms. And they said, you got the men's. And I walked in that men's bathroom and I said, you're offended. There's no doubt. But I see why I'm in here. I was cleaning those bathrooms. And then they came to me a few months later and said, hey, would you paint the bathroom? I said, sure, I'll paint the bathroom. I started painting the bathroom. I'm painting the bathroom, and in walks into the bathroom. It was not being used at the time. But in walks into the bathroom just stopping by the church with a group of friends, was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life, who later on became my wife, who's now sitting on the front row right here. But none of it happens. None of it happens if I didn't serve. What if I had been too stubborn to serve? There's been so many financial breakthroughs that have happened in Victoria and I's life, and it's because we've never been stubborn with giving. Because there's some people that are here and at Ferguson Florissant, I guarantee you that this Jubilee Barony Year offering, you knew you were supposed to give. And you gripped it tight. And here's the problem. God spoke to me one time. When you hold it this tight, your hands aren't open to receive. So you're holding everything in because you're stubborn. You're like, no, I'm not going to do it. That church is just trying to get my money. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get my money. Listen, we don't need your money. All the bills are paid. What we're trying to do is grow the kingdom, reach more people for Jesus, and stop people from going to hell. And we're trying to bring breakthrough in your life. Because when you give your 10% and you tithe and you make that decision, you're not going to be stubborn. God said, not me. It's the only time in the Bible that God said, test me in this and see if I won't do it. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing on top of you. And we say, oh, I'm not going to enter in. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing that. Don't let stubbornness hold you back from what God has planned for you. Don't let the stubbornness, don't let giving scare you and not walk into what God has for you. Make today, it's the last weekend. It's the last Sunday of this decade. Go into the next decade leaving that stubbornness in this decade. Verse 28, it says, so his father came out and he pleaded with him. He begged him. Came out and he pleaded with him. I think God's doing that with us today. Just a few things. There may be other things that you know is in your heart. Some unforgiveness. That you just need to let it go. Forgive them. It doesn't matter who was right and who was wrong. Just forgive them. Life is too short. It's but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And I think God is doing the same thing. He's begging. Hey, leave this stuff. Please, 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 please. Like the older son, he's begging and saying, hey, just leave this stuff out here. Please leave it out here. Go enjoy what I have for you. Go enjoy this time. Enjoy the banner year, the Jubilee, but you got to leave this stuff that's in your heart. You got to leave it in this decade. Look at how the son responded. And if we're not careful, we can respond the same way, myself included. Verse 29. The son said, Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you, performing every duty you've asked as a faithful son? And I've never once disobeyed you. But you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you given me a goat that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He comes back and wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living. And you're throwing a great feast. See, if we're not careful, we'll start being judgmental of what God is doing in other people's lives. And not understanding the humility. Remember what the first son, he came back and said, I was wrong. I messed up. I screwed up. I screwed this whole thing up. And I'm sorry. If we're not careful, we can end up like the second son, looking at the party that's going on in 2020, looking at everything that's happening and saying, look at them. Look at them. They shouldn't be doing that. They barely started coming to church last year. I saw them for the first time on Christmas. Now all of a sudden they got a breakthrough. This is ridiculous. Look at how the father responded. Check it out. Verse 31. The father said, my son, you're always with me, by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. And God is saying the very same thing to us today, here and at Ferguson Florissant. He's saying the same thing. Everything I have is yours. Come inside. Come in. Leave all this stuff here. Leave it in this decade. Leave it in this year. Come in and enjoy 2020. Enjoy the new decade. Enjoy the banner years. Enjoy the Jubilee. Now, here's the crazy thing. The older son never walked in. The things that were in his heart kept him back from experiencing what God had for him. I've often said Judas, who betrayed Jesus, it was not the betrayal of Jesus that was the worst. Although that is bad. let me go on record. Not the guy you'd want to betray. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, who'd you betray? The Son of God. Not a big deal. It's a pretty big deal. It wasn't that he betrayed Jesus. That's not the bad part. The hardest part for me is that Judas was around Jesus for 3.5 years and he never changed. His heart never changed. I know that God's got big plans for 2020 for everybody that's in here and at Ferguson Floors. I know he does. I know he does. There are some things we got to drop and leave here so that we can go enjoy the fullness there. Every head bowed and every eye closed here and at Ferguson Floreson. If you're in this room or you're at Ferguson Floreson and you say, Pastor Phil, I needed this today. I knew that I was supposed to be here today for this reason. It's by no mistake, no coincidence, I needed to hear this. There's some things I need to drop and leave it in this decade to go experience the fullness of 2020. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at so I can pray for you. Father, I thank you for each and every single person that has their hand raised right now here and at Ferguson Floreson. God, there's some things in our heart we're going to ask you to forgive us of. We're going to leave it. Our past, our hurts, our pains, our offenses, our anger. We're just going to leave it here. We're just going to forgive people because you forgave us the ultimate. So now we're just going to forgive the small. We forgive everybody. We're dropping these things and leaving them here. God, because we know that 2020 in this Jubilee, it's going to be the best year. It's going to be breakthrough year for us. We are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. God, we'll be blessed coming in, going out, laying down, and rising up. Everything our hands touch will turn to good. Ephesians 3:20, abundantly and above, all we could ever ask, think, or imagine is coming to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Did you enjoy that
Thanks
today?
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.